This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Guillard. Today I'm speaking with Pete Chamberlain. Pete, how are you?
Good. How are you, Henrik?
Great. Pete, how are you involved with digital asset management?
I work for a global software company, and I'm their director of marketing content infrastructure. And I manage the digital asset management system for our marketing organization through marketing operations.
Pete, how does a global software company use digital asset management?
We use our digital asset management system as a central repository. It allows us to provide global syndication of marketing content and provides us with the ability to maintain asset versioning and branding control.
Pete, what are the successes and challenges with digital asset management?
From a success standpoint, we've been fortunate that there's been a pretty strong vision in terms of how we're moving forward, a strategic vision that has led us down a path to being a centralized repository, being centrally managed, being centrally governed. One of the things that has really been successful for us is our ability to act kind of as an internal service organization to the marketing department and understanding how to work with people. Mm-hmm. It's really all about a people business. Mm-hmm. People think in different ways, they search in different ways, they learn at different paces, different skill sets, and we spend a tremendous amount of time in terms of overcoming any challenges to adoption that you might have for the system. We have an extensive enablement program. Help desk support, the first line of help desk support, is actually managed by the business and not IT. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we found early on that was a challenge for our users mm-hmm. was that they would send a note to the technical resources saying, I've got a complication, I don't understand how to do X, Y, or Z, I can't get at my asset. Mm-hmm. And they would get a note back that may say something like, works as designed. And it's just not helpful. So what we did is we kind of separated that and created a help desk that comprises basically us on the business side as business administrators to be able to work directly with one-on-one our end users so that we were sure that they had any of the training they need, any of the tips that they need, really looking at how we could help them do their job more efficiently, more effectively, mm-hmm. so that they would enjoy the benefits of a damn system. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we look at all times when we're dealing with our end users, and we get end users who can get pretty upset, they've got tight deadlines to meet, they can't find something, they can't seem to perform a function they want. Those are the people that we actually like to work with the most. They present an opportunity for success for the system and a success for us as a team mm-hmm. because typically you can turn that person to not only an ambassador for your system amongst their peers, but more importantly, those are the people that are passionate about the function of digital asset management. And those are the people that can provide us with a roadmap of how to support the organization better. Mm-hmm. It's their daily functions of their jobs that we're trying to make more efficient. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. I really get back to the point that I think it's, while the technology is nice and it's slick, it still really is about people.
Great point.
So we've had a significant amount of success with the adoption. We anticipate that'll continue. We have a department that's fairly small, but we do support over 3,000 users in our end user community. Mm-hmm. One of the other successes we've experienced with our digital asset management system is we have a member of our team who has over 20 years of experience and expertise in master data management. And where this has come in useful is in managing metadata and data quality around metadata. We have the ability to monitor the quality of the metadata instantly. It's kind of a self-service for our administrators. They can actually look at the different parameters around the metadata, understand where there's gaps, make assessments, be proactive in managing it, and really they've taken a process that is typically very manual. We've been able to somewhat automate that and create baseline of quality around our metadata. And this is really important when you start thinking about, as you connect other applications to your DAM and you're serving content across multiple channels, making sure that it's accurate so that it's served in the proper way, mm-hmm. Whether it's across the organization or externally, really key to the success of some of the upcoming programs that we have, like marketing automation.
What information would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
I think the key point that I'd like to
share is that if you're aspiring to be a DAM professional, whether you are a DAM professional, not to lose track of the fact that it really is a people business, and understand that it's about relationships, it's about working with people, it's about enabling them for success. When all of those things go into place and you're able to provide them with a solid operational foundation that's efficient and effective for them, you look at the fact that in marketing operations specifically, what we do, great operations becomes great marketing. And if they can keep focus on the fact that it really is all about people, I think they'll be very successful in whatever they do. Technology is almost secondary at that point.
Well, thanks, Pete. For more information on digital asset management, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Another DAM podcast is available on Audioboo and iTunes. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.